This is Radio Catskill. I'm Jason Dole. Fallsburg Central School District serves about 1,400 students in the eastern part of Sullivan County. And here now to talk about plans for this school year is Dr. Ivan Katz, Superintendent, Fallsburg Central School District. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Katz.
It's a pleasure.
And I know you're very busy. This is a busy time for all school administrators. What's your learning plan for the school year? All remote learning? And do you start this week?
We started this week for students on the remote learning platform, and we're doing that for about 10 weeks. Our intention is to phase into remote a hybrid model, which would be partially in-person learning and partially remote learning at the start of the second marking period.
You had planned to start off as hybrid, but now it's been delayed for 10 weeks. And one of the reasons I'm hearing is because you're trying to fill some key positions. Like, what are those positions that you're trying to fill?
That's a good question. Thank you for asking. We did plan to begin on the hybrid model, but we had a number of issues that got in our way. One was the was an unexpected resignation of a school administrator at the junior senior high school. We have not yet filled our director of facilities position, which is a critical position, especially when it comes to being on top of cleaning and disinfection. And so that is a critical position for in-person learning. We have a number of staff accommodations to address, and that has been ongoing. And probably most importantly is the fact that we recently hired two school nurses who are going to be able to begin at the end of September. So even if we wanted to begin the hybrid model, we really couldn't have without having nurses physically in the building. So when you take all of these issues together, it made opening with our original hybrid plan not a possibility.
Now, with these new nurses, are these new people filling pre-existing positions, or are these new positions, and if so, is that related at all to reopening school during the pandemic times?
No, these are our nursing positions that have been in place for many, many years. So we had retirements and replacements, and we were still in the process of getting permanent school nurses and the interview process related to that during the summer months.
I would guess it's all the more crucial to have them on hand when there are just so many medical safety concerns right now.
Well, the school nurse position is a critical position in normal times, but when you put the pandemic in addition to normal times, now you've got a position that is part of the school reopening process and part of the critical steps that the school district takes when there is someone who is COVID-19 positive or someone we suspect may have symptoms. The nurse positions are critical.
Right. And as you're making these decisions, like, is what's happening at other school districts around the country or even what's happening at college campuses, does that play in at all to your decision-making process?
Well, I certainly pay attention to what's happening around me, both the regionally and nationally, but the decisions that a school district makes is really dependent on the issues that they face in their locale. If other schools had positions to fill and didn't have nurses, those would be reasonable reasons to go on the remote learning platform. So really, the devil's always in the details. It's not so much that we would do things that other schools are doing, but we certainly follow the path of the pandemic and the local and regional infection rates that guide our decision-making, in addition to the guidance we get from the CDC and the State Education Department.
you know, when Governor Cuomo in August was announcing what the plans were going to be or what schools were going to do, it was a key part of, as schools submitted their plans, that they would be working in coordination with the State Board of Ed and State Department of Health. Are they still in touch with you? Is there still regular contact at this point? Or once you guys, you know, you got a plan, you're good to go, they're a little more hands off?
Well, I wouldn't say that they're hands off. I think that they're very concerned about what's happening in each of the 700 school districts in the state, and the communication often comes through our district superintendent, who happens to be the BOCES superintendent. It comes through communications directly to the superintendent from the Department of Health and the State Education Department. So they're constantly in communication with us, but it's usually through electronic format and or the relaying of important information through our district superintendent at BOCES.
Right, so the Sullivan County BOCES is kind of a hub for you guys all coordinating.
That is correct.
Right, and that makes sense. That's what they're there for. So how about, and then this is really the big question, is how are the students, the parents, the teachers reacting? What are you hearing from each of those parties?
Well, we've had a number of live sessions with parents and teachers and students as well, who students have actually chimed in during the parent meeting sessions. And I'd say that they all have legitimate concerns, and their concerns are all a little bit different. The teachers are concerned with how to make the platform work successfully and how to address the needs of students. And I think that they've been doing a great job with that, as well as our administrative team, who've been working at a feverish pace for months on end to try to plan a reopening that often feels like one step forward, a couple steps to the side, pivoting, and then making changes after plans have been edited and planned. So it's been a moving target, and I often liken it to fixing an airplane while it's flying. And they've been doing that, and I think the district has been doing a yeoman's job in light of the obstacles that we face. Parents have a huge challenge in front of them, you know, with the work that they have to do and the support that they give their children, and the other challenges in terms of the pandemic's effect on the economy and what that means in terms of jobs and so forth. So a great deal of our decision-making was made with the concerns of parents at heart, and we had several sessions with parents, and we listened. And when we made the decision to go on remote learning for the first 10 weeks, there were a number of parents who were concerned and did want their kids in school, but also a segment of parents who were relieved that I had made that decision for them, because they didn't really want to make that decision because they did want to keep their children home. And it's just been one challenge after another. And students, their concerns have been centered around, at least the ones who participated in the online meetings, about their schedules and the timing and sports and the kinds of things that are part of a student's daily school life. So everyone has a horse in the race and concerns. They may look a little different, but there are concerns across the board.
To what degree is accessibility an issue in your district, both in terms of connectivity, which is an issue for some areas of Sullivan County, or whether or not you can have, you know, the proper internet connection, but also just in access to the technology that allows students to operate remotely?
Very good questions. We supply each student with a Chromebook. Parents have been asking for them, and we've been supplying them since the spring. So we have enough Chromebooks for each student in the school district.
Wow.
In terms of connectivity, we surveyed our parents at the beginning of the summer, and we learned that Most families have access to the internet and Wi-Fi, but we did identify approximately 5% of the families, and our survey, we surveyed all parents, and we had 301 respondents, about a 30% response rate on our surveys. 5% indicated that they had no internet access. And so we've been purchasing and supplying families with mobile hotspots. And as long as they have a Verizon signal, they're able to get on the internet with the district-provided mobile hotspots.
If you just think back, I mean, a year ago, before any of these things were concerns, if you'd go back in time and try to tell yourself, hey, in less than a year, you're going to be giving a Chromebook to every student so they can access school from home, I mean, what would you have thought?
Well, I don't, in terms of technology, I don't think that that would have been any kind of a shock to me, because I think that we're heading towards a need for students to be able to have access to technology and to become consumers of research. These are discussions that we've had. The pandemic put this into high speed, where we had to move forward without really any sense of planning or piloting or any of the kinds of things we do when we consider new innovations and bring them in a way that makes sense. We were a switch was flipped, and we had to do it. So in terms of technology, if you asked me that a year ago, I would have probably responded that I think that's a good idea. I don't know if our current budget could support that, but I think it's something to aspire to. But I think that given the current circumstances, I see that we've had a lot of opportunities here. I think that one of the major opportunities is for students to learn how to be technological consumers of research and students of technology learning as a silver lining in the pandemic cloud, because I think these are skills that will serve them well in their educational and professional lives, I believe.
As we look at all of this and as you move forward, what's your primary concern for students learning during this unusual time? For the students' sake, what are you most concerned about?
Well, I'm concerned about the lack of in-person interaction and the social-emotional issues and the traumas that can come with that. There's a lot lost when you don't have the in-person opportunity to be with your friends, peers, teachers, doing activities, because while we're trying to replicate to the greatest extent possible the in-school experience on a computer, it has its limitations, and certainly the kinds of things that kids learn by being and working together, that has kind of fallen by the wayside in the interest of protecting their health, safety, and welfare. And my concern is that this passes by as quickly as possible, so that they can resume some level of that, whether it's through a return to a hybrid model of learning, or hopefully in the near future, a return to full-time in-person learning 5 days a week. Because I think there are also critical lessons that students learn by working with each other and their teachers. To me, that's something that's important and constantly in our mind's eye as we look at being able to return and to return safely.
Dr. Ivan Katz, superintendent for Fallsburg Central School District, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
And I thank you, and I wish you good luck in your investigations.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Jason Dole. That was an interview that we recorded yesterday with Dr. Ivan Katz, superintendent with Fallsburg Central School District. Just a quick side note, at the end of last week, Fallsburg did announce that they had one staff person who tested positive, an employee tested positive for COVID-19, but who was not on campus in the previous 14 days, so didn't come in contact with any of the other teachers or students or anything. We'll have more on the latest numbers of COVID-19 coming up after this.